Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, where successful women have paved the road to their own financial freedom. Each week, your host, Hillary Hendershot, financial coach, money mindset expert, and experienced wealth manager, will help you discover the keys to the wealth and peace of mind you want and deserve in her no-nonsense and authentic style. Starting right now.
Our Profit Boss guest today is Laura McClellan, host of the Productive Woman podcast, an award-nominated podcast about productivity for busy women. Laura is also a lawyer, a writer, and a tech geek. She's been married for 37 years to her high school sweetheart. She has five amazing kids. She's passionate about encouraging women in their individual journeys as people, wives, mothers, and citizens. In addition to her podcast, Laura blogs at I Was Just Thinking and Real Estate Law Blog. Connect with Laura on Twitter at Laura McMom. I myself, Profit Boss, am a constant student of the art of productivity. And for me, it's really hard to differentiate between this idea of productivity and the idea of systems. I believe you need systems to accomplish things in life, everything from repetitive tasks to checklists and frameworks for decision making. And Laura is really going to teach you about that in this episode. Some of the things Laura and I talk about in this episode include the principles of productivity, the beauty of essentialism, and how to honor the fact that every time you say yes to one thing, you say no to an infinite number of others. Laura also gives us some insight into things she's chosen to remove from her life or just simply put them on a list called, hey, I'm not doing that right now, in order to focus on being productive in the things that she's committed to now. Laura and I talk about systems for financial productivity, including money making, paying bills, and growing wealth that mean the most to us. We talk about the difference between being busy and being productive. Profit Boss, I do need to send you a quick but genuine apology for the audio quality in this interview. I moved to a new recording tool and my microphone did not get recorded. So what you hear is what came through my own inboard microphone. Laura sounds great, but my own audio just really isn't up to par. So please, please listen for the gold and know that I'll be back in top shape for the next episode. Here we go with Laura McClellan and the Productive Financial Woman.
Laura McClellan, welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Thank you so much, Hillary. I'm delighted to be here.
Laura, how did you become an expert in productivity? Such a cool thing.
Well, I'm not sure I consider myself an expert, but I'm certainly an enthusiast. And I have been a self-admitted productivity nerd since junior high. It's always been something that's interested me. I've always, loved to read the books, been a fan of checklists and calendars and stuff like that. And so it's just something I've studied. And as I got older, it became a life necessity, as I got married and was raising kids and went to law school and all those things. Productivity in the sense of being able to manage my life and the commitments I make became a survival mechanism.
Well, sure, we have many aspects of life that we have to manage as women, as people, really, in today's society. And it's so important. And that's really one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on the show, is because money can seem like a topic area that's never critical. And so in any given day, it's possible to back burner those action items and to-dos. But in your lifetime, I think, and I've experienced this, if you maintain a practice where you just handle things when they need to get handled, I think you end up having a higher quality life and you're more and more satisfied with all aspects of your life. So just for us, let's pretend we're starting from zero. What's your definition of productivity?
Well, for me, it used to be productivity was all about how many things you checked off your to-do list. And one of the things that's changed for me over the years, and especially as I've been doing this podcast, is realizing that that's not what it's about at all. So what I believe productivity is about, what I believe living a productive life is about, is managing your time, your resources, all those things, managing your life in such a way as to maximize your positive impact on the world around you, whatever that means to you, whatever the world around you, whether it's, you know, the people who live in the house with you or the world at large, but managing all those things so that you are able to have a positive impact on the world. So it's a lot more than just checking things off a to-do list. It's not about getting a lot of stuff done. It's about getting the right stuff done.
You and I are two peas in a pod. And there is a principle I am pursuing in life right now. And if I have a breakthrough in it, I will share my progress as I go on the show. But someone said to me, Hillary, I want you to take on doing less and being more.
Yeah.
And, you know, as women who, I mean, you have lots of roles that you play in life. You wear more professional caps than I do, even. We have lots of stuff that we have to do. Now, there's no getting around that there's lots of action items to tick off the list. But also, there's this idea of, like, you know, the influence that we have and how our intentions scale in the world. And so that all gets wrapped up into productivity as well, I think.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, some of this comes with a mindset shift, because we can say, well, there's all these things that we have to do. But the great thing about being a human being, about being a woman in the 21st century, is we have choices. And the things that we are doing, we get to choose. And we might not feel like it sometimes. We may think, well, my boss says I have to do this, or, you know, whatever. But we've chosen to take that job, and we've chosen to want to do well at it. We always have another choice, you know?
Sure.
There are consequences to our choices, but we always do have a choice.
Consequences and trade-offs. And another way to say that is just the willingness to take responsibility for the life you've created. And that sometimes means, heading in a different direction if you choose to do that.
Absolutely.
Laura, you talk about minimalism. What does minimalism have to do with productivity?
Well, it's something that I've been reading about over the past couple of years. And, you know, especially as I try to develop, think about what's appropriate to talk about on my own podcast, you know, minimalism, I think, is about, I would maybe use a different word. And it's a word that Greg McKeown has made kind of known in his book, and that's essentialism. Yeah. And it's really about identifying what is essential in your life and culling out everything else, to focus all your time and your energy and your attention and your resources on those things that really, really matter to you. And nobody can tell you what those things are. You know, it's all about being intentional about the life you're living. But once you've identified what those things are, for me, and there are other definitions, but for me, minimalism is about culling out the things that don't matter to make room for the things that really do.
Okay, so easier said than done,
yeah.
I think. Can you, and it's easy from, I could probably list some of the things that you think are top on, you know, your most valuable list, but what's difficult is the culling.
Yeah.
So can you give us an example of a couple of things that maybe it was hard for you to remove or pay less attention to, but that has made a difference for you in terms of your pursuit of essentialism?
Well, I mean, one example is, I have lots of interests. In all my life, I've wanted to write fiction. And it's very important to me to do that at some point. And I started writing a novel and spending time writing that novel. And it's, I've made a lot of progress on it. But in the last 6 months or so, I made a conscious decision to set that aside, because I felt like what was most important for me during that stage was to do well at my, you know, my day job. You know, I owe that to my colleagues and my clients, and to focus on producing the best content and resources I can for the listeners of my podcast. So those two things, at least professionally speaking, have been the essential for me. That and my family are the essential for me. And so I made a difficult decision to put the book aside and to give myself permission not to work on it for a season. So that's one example. Another one is, you know, there are certain TV shows that I just love to watch, and I quit watching them. I record them, and maybe someday I'll get back to them, but there are more important uses of my time in the evening when I'm not practicing law. So
Did you cut out television or shows or movies altogether during the week?
I haven't cut it out entirely, but, you know, this week I haven't watched any TV at all. I usually, you know, I've sort of corralled TV to an hour or two, maybe Friday evening or on the weekend when, you know, I'm not at work all day. I'm really working hard these days in trying to sort of batch the things that I work on and like get the podcast stuff done in the early part of the week in the evenings when I'm home from the office and leave some free time on the weekends to, you know, watch a couple of my shows that I like. So
very good. Very good. Yeah, I can fall victim to planning my work like a pro. My calendar is impeccable. Mm-hmm. And then my weakness is I, instead of doing what's on the calendar, I do what's right in front of me.
Yeah.
And I end up in minor states of overwhelm sometimes. Okay, so what are, if we think about the principles of financial management, for example, you know, the number one rule in investing is buy low and sell high. Another principle is always, always diversify. Diversification is your only free lunch. So what are the principles of productivity?
Well, for me, there are a couple of, you know, I guess if you want to call them principles that are necessary for a productive life. If somebody asks me that question, my first principle is write everything down. Don't try to keep anything in your head because our brains are designed for having ideas, not for storing them. And another productivity specialist that I know says our brains make better factories than they do warehouses. And so the number one principle of productivity, as far as I'm concerned, is, you know, write everything down. A second one is, you know, in a sort of general sense or a broad sense, know where you're going and have a plan to get there. For me, the to-do list is sort of the last thing on the spectrum. The important thing is to take a step back, think about what really matters to you, those guiding principles for your life, the long-term objectives you have for your life, have a goal in mind. And I mean a long-term, what kind of person do I want to be? What kind of life do I want to create for myself and the people I love? And how am I going to get there? You can be very, very busy and not be productive if you're just running around in circles and, you know, doing whatever gets thrown in front of you instead of taking steps toward your long-term objectives on a daily basis. And so for me, another principle is to do something, even a small thing, every day toward one or more of your goals. And a corollary to that is don't try to do everything. You shouldn't be, I think, trying to pursue a dozen goals at a time. Pick one or two or three things and focus on those for a season. So those are some of the things that I try to practice and that we talk about on the show a lot.
Okay, so from a macro level, a way to move toward your financial goals on a daily basis would be to set up, first, to set up an automation system, and then second, to live within your spending plan. So I don't teach budgeting. I really don't like budgets or categorizing spending. I don't know if you do that, Laura, but I don't think that many people are cut out to do that kind of really nitty gritty work. And so if you set up an automation plan where you know how much you can spend and you don't exceed that spending amount, that is in essence not a negative or a step away from your goal. So it's a step towards your goals. Other automation is automatic savings that goes into your short and long-term savings accounts on a weekly or bi-monthly or monthly basis. And that's also a step towards your goals.
Yeah.
And then one thing I've been struggling with is, and I've shared about this before, but is my husband and I are finally getting on the same page, well, really integrating accounts for the first time. Mm. And it's taking like months. We have meetings every other Sunday night and we, you know, open a series of accounts and we need to get some reporting done and we need to get a tool where we can see everything. And it's taking a long time, but I have to remind myself that, you know, we're in the process and I don't have to do it all today.
Yeah.
And we will get there.
Yeah. I think women, maybe more than men, have a tendency to not give ourselves credit for the progress we're making. We're more likely to see what we haven't done yet instead of giving ourselves a pat on the back for what we have done. And that small steps, taken consistently will get us to those big goals that we have. And so, yeah, it's a process. What you were just describing absolutely is a process. And I think that's true of anything that's important in life. There's a process and you take little steps in that direction. And I think it's important to remind ourselves to look back and say, yeah, I did that. You know, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm farther along than I would be if I hadn't done anything. I love the something I saw on Facebook once a long time ago that it was talking, I think, about fitness, but I think it applies everywhere, that no matter how slowly you're going, you're still lapping everybody who's still sitting on the couch.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. And let me backtrack just a little bit. Your number one principle for productivity was write everything down.
Yeah.
I use Evernote and Trello for that. What are the tools you use?
Well, I love Evernote. I've used it for several years. I've been a premium user of it. And that's the place where I keep track of information I'm going to want to access again. I mean, everything from that's where my, when I get receipts for online purchases emailed to me, I forward them to my Evernote account. So everything from that to, oh, I have a running list of topic ideas for my podcast, articles that I've seen, photographs, the car license plates, that's my external digital brain.
Yes.
On a day-to-day basis, I use two things sort of to track everything. I have a task manager, project manager, and I use a digital one. And the one I'm loving and using every day for my, you know, for my law practice is something called NOSBE, N-O-Z-B-E. And that's where anything, any project I'm going to work on, any task I need to do, all those things go in there. And then I have a calendar. And again, I use an electronic one that, and it's synced between my computers and my phone and everywhere. Every appointment that I make, whether it's with somebody else or with myself, goes in that as soon as I know about it. So, and then I also have an app on my phone that I use for just when I have random ideas that I don't have time to put them where they belong. You know, I might dictate something into there and save it there. But it's real important to me to get things out of my head as soon as they get there. Because, you know, as I'm getting older and have more stuff in there, things start to leak out.
Oh, believe me, I can't retain much of anything in my brain. I rely on my notes for everything. What's the app? Is it a voice app on your phone? What's that app called?
Well, I'm an Apple geek, so I have an iPhone and the app is called Drafts.
Drafts.
Yeah. And it's what, I mean, you can type in it, you can dictate into it, just like you can dictate into most things on smartphones. Yes. And what's cool about it is it just captures it there. And you can, from right in the app, it's got all these integrations that you can like forward it to your task manager. You can make an appointment out of it. You can text it to somebody. You can do lots of things right from that app. It's a really cool, I don't think it's very expensive. I've had it so long, I don't remember, but I think it might be, you know, like $4 or $5.
Yeah, $4 or $5. And I think Evernote is like $2 a month.
Oh, yeah.
So worth it.
Oh, yeah. It's just, if I lost Evernote, I would have to just sit in a dark room somewhere because I would not, you know, it really is my external brain.
Yeah. One thing I found that really works is now that you can use your Apple iPhone to do dictation, both into text and to email, I find that's great for me. I often drive to client appointments and then I can actually dictate my notes. It's not just a voice recording that I have to then type later. It actually transcribes it as I talk.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do it for, I think you only have 60 seconds or something. So you have to watch when it stops and then you just stop and start again. It's not a big deal and it doesn't do it perfectly, but it sure helps.
Oh yeah. And I mean, Siri does a pretty good job of understanding what I'm telling, you know, what I'm dictating into it. So, I mean, it's a great resource when you're kind of on the go, but need to remember something.
Yes. So in terms of productivity, there are so many people, like I said earlier, it's easy to put off financial strategy, planning, paying bills, moving money, things like this, from today to tomorrow. And of course, it's never tomorrow, is it? So what are techniques that we can use to, quote unquote, eat that frog? Have you read that book?
I haven't read the book, but I know the concept. The book has been on my list to read, but my to-read pile is a mile long. But yeah, I know what the concept is.
Eat That Frog is, for the folks who haven't heard of it, is basically the concept that you should do that which you least look forward to first in the morning, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and just get it out of the way.
Yeah. If you eat a frog first thing in the morning, the rest of your day can't help but be better. So.
Right. It's like forcing yourself to do something for the good of your future self.
Yes, exactly.
So how do you do that for yourself?
Well, there are a couple of things. And if we want to talk about, say, you know, specifically financial things like paying bills, a couple things that I do: schedule a regular time for it. And I make an appointment with myself and put it on my calendar. And I have trained myself over the years that when my calendar dings at me, I go wherever it tells me to. So if I've made that appointment, then I'm going to do it. You train yourself to honor it. Don't let, you know, if it's bill paying, don't let them pile up. If you do a little bit each week or however often, you know, each payday, whatever, it's less of a headache than if you stuff it all in a, you know, in a folder somewhere in a drawer and only deal with it once every 6 months. Make it easy for yourself. So have the supplies handy. Have a place where you put the bills as they come in. And when it's time to sit down and deal with them, make a cup of tea or, you know, have whatever your beverage of choice while you do
not
it.
Not wine. I've heard people say have wine. And I think, no, not for me.
Now, maybe not the best financial choices are going to be made after a couple of glasses of wine.
I am what you might refer to as demotivated.
Yeah, yeah.
After a glass of wine.
Yeah, it puts me to sleep. So it's not a good choice. But, you know, and maybe make the area for a lot of us as women, if we want the place where we're going to be working to be appealing. So have something pretty at the desk where you pay bills or whatever. I would also say automate as much as you can. You kind of mentioned that earlier, but wherever you can set up auto bill pay, auto deposit, I never see my paycheck. It just goes in automatically. Mm-hmm. And most of our bills are set up to be paid, you know, a few days before they're due. You set that up once and all you have to do is just make sure your money is in the account and you don't have to sit down and do it. And I would say also, for those who can afford to, outsource it. Hire help for those things that have to get done, but maybe aren't your wheelhouse, aren't your favorite thing to do. We each need to decide what is the best, most effective use of our time. And for some of us, it may be more a better use of our time to hire, you know, expert help to do some of these things.
Right. My husband and I, because we run businesses, we have an assistant, like a personal assistant, who is a business expense. And this makes my life so much better. She gets jobs done that she does better than I do. I make more money doing what I do professionally. It's a great trade-off.
Yeah.
But not only that, there are things that actually just wouldn't get done. She comes at, you know, once a week or once every other week, and I know I need to fill that time. And even if I had the time, there are things I don't think I would do. For example, putting family photos in the scrapbook.
There you go.
You know, that's a thing she does for me. And it's like, that's not really my wheelhouse. It's something I value having done, but it historically has always sat undone. And of course, that's cognitive dissonance and horrible on the brain to have undone tasks sitting around. So I'm a big fan of getting some help so you can maximize your own efficiency. Do what you're great at, do what you make money at, and let someone else do what they're great at.
Yeah, and this is something I've had lots of feedback from listeners to The Productive Woman who share my difficulty sometimes in overcoming that sense of, well, I could do that, so I should do it. Why should I pay somebody to clean my kitchen? I ought to be able to do that myself. Well, you know, there are better uses of our time sometimes, and nobody can tell you what that is for you, but this all comes along with the idea of living with some intentionality of thinking about where can I best use my time? Should I, if I'm working long hours, should I spend my weekend cleaning the house or should I go hang out with my husband and kids? You know?
Right. I mean, I think I've inversed that mindset to, you know, you said, well, I can do that, so I should do that. My mindset is more, if Claudia can do that, I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Let me just wait until Wednesday when she comes.
Absolutely. And that's for those of us who have lots of, you know, we wear lots of hats, we have lots of commitments, lots of interests, whatever. we need to take that time to think, all right, of all these things that are out there that need to be done, what are the things that only I can do?
Yeah.
And focus my time and my energy and my attention on those things. And all those other things, you look at them and you think, all right, of those things that are left, are any of those things that really don't need to be done at all? So we trash them. Are they things that can be delegated to somebody else and give them the opportunity to do something they're really good at and make a contribution, whether that's paid help or a husband or kids or, you know, whatever.
Child labor.
You know, I mean, there's even in the 21st century, a lot of us, and certainly a lot of women, there's a sense that we've got to do it all. And it's just not true.
Yeah. And are there other personal financial systems for productivity that you use that we haven't talked about? So you've mentioned bill pay, you've mentioned automation, other things that you've found?
Well, I have to admit that I don't have a ton of financial systems because I've sort of lucked out. About 37 years ago, I married a guy who I trust with my life and with my money.
Hooray.
And he's an engineer by training and very, you know, he's a math nerd and I'm the sort of English and history nerd. And so he handles most of our finances. And so my job mostly is just to make sure he has receipts for anything I buy. But other than just making sure that I keep track of what I've spent money on, that I write it down or I put the receipt in Evernote in a shared folder where he can get at it. Those are kind of the main things that I do.
So you two sort of naturally have financial harmony.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Hey.
I chose wisely all those years ago, which, I mean, it's total luck because, you know, we were 18 when we got married. I didn't know from nothing. But
it is. Your choice of partner in life is so critical to your experience of life.
Well, and he's very diligent and very conscientious about it and is very good about, you know, paying things off ahead of time. So our cars are all paid for, you know, student loans got paid off early, all those kinds of things. He's just very good at doing that. So I'm fortunate in that sense. And if you don't have somebody like that in your life that you can trust to do that, then, you know, that's a situation where you need to get those systems in place and or hire some help.
Right. So what are some of the things productive women don't do?
Well, and it's funny, I did a whole episode about on the podcast about that. There are a number of things and that I think could be relevant, particularly to your audience. One of them is that productive women don't say yes without thinking. Productive women are okay with saying no. They are okay with that pause when somebody has thrown an opportunity their way or made a request of them, whether it's to buy something or to do something or whatever, they take a moment to think, where does this fit in my view of what my world is supposed to look like? And so if we want to talk about finances, productive women are not going to just buy something that catches their eye without taking a moment to think, does this fit into the plan I have for my life financially? Similarly, you know, kind of another way of saying that is productive women don't lose sight of their priorities. Productive women think about these things. They take the time to think about what matters to them and what kind of life they want and not just sort of living whatever life is thrown in front of them. And they know what matters to them and they keep that in mind as they're kind of going through their day to day and making decisions about what to do with all the resources we have that are limited, whether it's money or time or energy or attention. Productive women don't squander those things.
Mm. So just like a corporation or business would match up a tactic or a plan with their mission, vision, and values.
Yeah.
So should a productive woman too.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else critical that a productive woman does not do?
In the episode when I talked about that, there were a number of things. There were 10 things that I listed. I would say it's important in all this when we talk about planning and everything, I'd say it's really important to remember that productive women don't sacrifice enjoying and being present in the moment to always looking to the future. It's important to have that plan and those goals. But it's also important to be here and now and enjoy the life you're living today. And this is something I have to remind myself of very often because I'm very future focused and goal focused. And it's really easy to always be looking out there and never take a moment to look around and think, wow, I'm living this moment right now. And it's pretty cool.
Oh, you and I are so much alike. This is so nicely dovetails into another question I wanted to ask you. Are there times you don't try to be productive?
I'm going to say yes, but with a caveat. There are times I need a certain amount of downtime when I'm not doing something. But I think that is part of being a productive person, is giving yourself that space to just sort of veg out, whether it's, you know, sit out on the patio with a cup of tea and enjoy the sunset, or, you know, hanging out with your significant other, watching a good movie on TV or something. That for people who think of productivity as checking things off the list, that doesn't seem very productive, but it's necessary for me for mental health. And I think it's necessary for most of us, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely have my downtime. Some scheduled and some unscheduled. Mm-hmm. I find sometimes if I don't schedule downtime, I just take it.
Yeah.
I call those undeclared vacations.
Yeah, yeah. Well, years ago, before I went to law school, we have 5 children. And when they were all home, I was home with them for 10 years. And I homeschooled them for several years. And we had it because I'm kind of methodical. We had a schedule and, you know, for doing our schoolwork. But there were days we'd wake up and, you know, everybody was in a bad mood, or it was a dreary day, or we were tired or whatever. And I would call a mental health day and we'd stay in our pajamas all day and lay around and, you know, watch cartoons or whatever.
Ooh, they love those.
Yeah. Well, you know, they actually liked doing their schoolwork too, but those were fun days. Or we just call, it was, you know, you'd get up and you'd look outside and you'd think it's been a long, dreary winter and look, the sun's out. It's gorgeous and it's warm. All right. No school today. We're going to the park. And I do the same thing with myself now. Sometimes, as you said, sometimes you plan for it. Sometimes you wake up and you have one of those days and you think, I'm not going to get anything, you know, quote, air quotes, productive done today. I'm tired. I don't feel well, or I've got spring fever. And you just, you know, call an audible and take the day off.
Yes. I, being pregnant for the first time right now, I have had to have some patience with myself. There have been days I have to tell my team, look, I can't today. Yeah. I am going to be in bed and, you know, I'll work till noon or something. And I have to forgive myself because I can't rest and punish myself at the same time. Yeah. It makes no difference that way.
Yeah. You know what? And I end pretty much every episode of my podcast with a phrase where I encourage listeners to extend grace to each other and to yourself. And we aren't always very good at that. We don't cut ourselves breaks very often.
I know. It's hard because you can't, it's not a tactic you can teach.
Yes.
It's internal.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So Laura, has productivity increased your income?
Well, I think it would. I would say yes, because being productive in the sense of being able to manage my time and those resources, that's what enabled me to go to an Ivy League law school in my mid-30s with 5 children and a husband in tow.
I think my jaw just hit the ground.
Yeah, I already had, as I said, we got married when we were 18. We had our first child when we were 20. And I did my first year of college our first child was born during our first year of college. I did about a year and a half, and then we went and did other things. And I went back 10 years later, back to college, and my 5th child was born a week after finals of my junior year. We moved cross country and I went to law school at Cornell with all, you know, the whole family there, and then moved down to Dallas for me to start practicing law. And I think
so productivity literally enabled your career.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to do any of those things if I wasn't able to, you know, prioritize and manage my time and manage my tasks and be able to take care of a family and study, or, you know, now to do a job. Now, my youngest child now is, he'll be 22 in May. So my babies have all flown the coop, but those things can be done. But being organized and, you know, understanding principles of managing time and tasks and all of that sort of thing, is the reason I am where I am today. And
wow, that's inspiring. And you're consistently humble, but it's truly inspiring. I can't even imagine. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing the principles of productivity, and not just sharing them, but living them, so that we can live vicariously through you and learn how you master the principles of a productive life. You've been talking about your podcast throughout the interview, and that podcast is called The Productive Woman, available on iTunes, right?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. And so, Profit Boss, after you're done listening to this episode, you should head on over and check out the Productive Woman podcast. Specifically, Laura and I both mentioned an episode called 10 Things Productive Women Don't Do as my suggestion. You might start there, or any other episode that catches your fancy. Laura, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And the Profit Boss Radio audience appreciates you.
Well, it's my pleasure. It was a privilege to be part of it. I think what you're doing is great.
If you liked this episode, I'm inviting you to join us today in the free private Profit Boss community on Facebook. You don't have to know a super secret password or handshake, but you will benefit from a warm, encouraging, and confidential community who are all there to grow and learn from each other. It's an awesome opportunity to create a classroom out of what you learn here on Profit Boss Radio and in life, and get feedback from how others in the Profit Boss community are achieving financial independence. Some of the really valuable discussions we've had recently in the Facebook group are how to make sure tax time goes super smoothly for you with no stress, what tools people are using to track their spending and make sure they're achieving their financial goals, and also what resources people are using to master their money mind. So plug in and take advantage of the collective wisdom from your fellow Profit Bosses. Crowdsource the answers to your most important financial questions in a confidential and supportive environment. Just go to HillaryHendershot.com/Profit Boss. That's HillaryHendershot.com/Profit Boss. And that link redirects you to a Facebook group. Just request membership and we'll let you right in. It's free. It's cool. It's awesome. It's supportive. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to Profit Boss Radio, where creating success on our own terms happens every day. You're not alone in your journey to a rich life, and that's why Hillary is here to add value in each and every episode. See you next time on the podcast for women and money.